Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric, Joe is out this week. He is sick. Sean is somewhere in the fruited plains, I'm assuming, as we start episode 249. So along with me, I have my dear friend Julian. So welcome to the show. This is your first time on Way of the Warrior. Welcome. And you're, of course, part of something very special as we are one episode away from our 250th episode of doing this thing, which for all of us who have done this for 5 years, which is only me. I'm the only person who's done all 5 years of these things, but that's a pretty crazy thing. So we start this week to say thank you for all of you who have subscribed or downloaded. Make sure you do that on Podbean or iTunes or Stitcher or check it out on iHeartRadio. These are up and all of the archives are up, so you can check out our conversations with George St. Pierre or Brock Lesnar or Dana White or all those guys, 250 episodes deep. All of that stuff is up, so enjoy those. As we get going, lots of events to talk about this week. We've got two this week on Fight Pass, which is interesting. You've got Shogun and Ovince St. Preux, and then the big grudge match, you've got Luke Rockhold and Michael Bisping. So we will start there as that will take place in Sydney, the main event, Michael Bisping, Luke Rockhold. A very interesting fight, Julian, because you've got two guys who hate each other. You know, we're not mincing words at all. They absolutely hate each other.
Correct.
But there was one moment this week when they were doing press that they were unified, and that's in their unified hatred of Vitor Belfort. One of the guys who downloads this show on a regular basis, whose name is Ryan, calls him Cheetor Belfort and would like me to refer to him henceforth as Cheetor Belfort. So I'm a little nervous with that because it sounds like a He-Man character, but for the sake of Ryan, I will call him Cheetor Belfort. So they were talking this week about how they don't even think that Vitor is going to make it to the Weidman fight. He was tested this week. Weidman, Bisping, and Luke Rockhold all on the same page thinking, I don't even know if this guy's going to pass the test that he just took, so let's calm down about, you know, what's going to happen in the fight, and will Vitor Belfort beat Chris Weidman? Let's get to the fight first. That said, you've got two guys knocked out in the exact same fashion, in the exact same year, by Vitor Belfort in spinning head kick, who clearly want that loss back. You know, right. He was busted both times.
Sure.
And both of these guys have a chip on their shoulder because of that, but not so much as they're willing to lay down that chip to go at each other's throats. And this is one of those things where I've been a fan, we've been a fan on the show of Michael Bisping for a long, long time. I joke with him on the show that prior to the loss to Vitor Belfort, he was one of those guys that the more fights he won, the further away he got from a title shot. It was like the harder he worked, the further away he got. But here we are, he loses to Vitor Belfort, just murders Kung Lee, and gets this grudge match on a pretty quick notion. He only had 2 week turnaround before he was back in camp, had a bunch of injuries coming out of the Kung Lee fight, injured his shoulder, injured his foot, injured his hand because he was blocking all of Kung's kicks with his wrist. So he's a little beat up. Luke Rockhold had a little bit longer layoff, and he's coming off two wins, one over Tim Boshin, the other one over Costa Philippou, and then, of course, that Vitor Belfort loss. A guy coming out of Strikeforce that has been a guy to watch at 185, but, man, I'm never one to... And I don't know your thoughts on this, but I'm never one to vote against Michael Bisping.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking, too, is Michael Bisping, and you and I talked about this before, about him being an awesome gatekeeper.
Right.
So
yes.
In order to get to the title fight, you have to beat Michael Bisping. And chances are you're not gonna beat him unless you're the person holding the belt.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the other half, if you're a Strikeforce fan, you know that there's jokes about this, that Tim Kennedy and Luke Rockhold look very similar. And so the other half of the Luke Rockhold-Tim Kennedy show, Tim Kennedy beat Bisping in a unanimous decision. But prior to that, he is 6-3 with three losses being a decision to Chael Sonnen, a decision to Cheetor Belfort, and a decision to Tim Kennedy. Two of the three of those guys have since been busted for using illegal drugs. So when you talk about Michael Bisping being a gatekeeper, mm-hmm. he's a legit... These guys that were on performance-enhancing drugs, and we talked about this last week, Julian, that the idea of a performance-enhancing drug isn't so much that in that fight they're a, you know, they've got superpowers. You're fighting Captain America or the Hulk or Iron Man. It's when you're in training, you heal faster, right. You can do more reps of those crazy spinning head kicks, and right. that somebody who is not taking those things and can't recover as fast can't do 1,000 reps. They can maybe only do 500. And so Michael Bisping battle-tested in those arenas when he's made all those guys go to decision,
sure,
and has knocked out Kung Lee, TKO of Alan Belcher, TKO of Jason Miller, TKO of Jorge Rivera, Akiyama, Dan Miller, Dennis Kang, Chris Lieben, Jason Day, Charles McCarthy, so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. He is the quintessential gatekeeper, but a guy that can't seem to catch a break, right? These two fights against these two guys don't get overturned, even though they're both, you know, dinged for cheating the system.
Right.
Has a loss to Tim Kennedy and now faces Luke Rockhold, who is no slouch. You know, Luke is a real deal guy. He's on a two-fight win streak. And these guys hate each other. And for me, I guess it comes down to if Luke, which I feel he is a little bit fresher. You know, his last fight is from April, so he's had a long layoff.
Sure.
And I think that's, for me, the X factor, right, is how fresh is Luke Rockhold going to be and how much did all of those kicks at the various parts of Michael Bisping from Kung Lee, how much did it take out of him?
Right. Yeah, that would be the question is, you know, which guy is more healthy? And even today I was reading that Michael Bisping has a cut over his eye that might not make a huge impact in the fight. However, something small like that, if it gets opened up during the fight, that could be a problem.
Because even if they don't stop the fight, it hinders your vision. And, you know, you and I both watched the Kung Lee fight. It's clear that they don't stop these fights when there's cuts over your eye anymore, as Kung Lee's eyes were essentially shut, and they still let him go until he was finished. It's not that cut is going to be something that causes the fight not to happen or stop prematurely, but you get that blood in your eye, and a guy like Luke Rockhold sees that, he's able to jump on it. Six Aussies on the card as we're in Sydney. You're going to see more and more of these things as the UFC attempts to stack the card in a way, especially on Fight Pass, for people in that area to be really into the fight, right?
Absolutely.
When we're in Brazil, lots of Brazilians. When you're in Australia, lots of Australians, because they want to bring people into the fold and and get the huge gates. That said, you'll be able to watch it here Friday night, 10 o'clock on Fight Pass, as it's in Australia the next day because of the weird international dateline that screws those things up. And you've also got Ross Pearson, Ally Quinta. That is a lightweight battle that is interesting to me. I mean, Ross Pearson, again, another really, really tough dude.
Absolutely.
Another gatekeeper guy, and another guy who's, I think, has really kind of turned a corner and become a guy to watch at lightweight. Ally Quinta, another tough guy, just had a win, and prior to that had that great fight with our friend Kevin Lee, but a guy who's trying to find his space in this stacked division.
Right.
You just, at 155, cannot lose. And when you put these two guys in co-main, and they know that. Ross Pearson, coming off of a win of Gray Maynard, is a huge, huge windfall to him.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, a step up for Ally Quinta. He hasn't really had the fights that Ross Pearson has with the caliber of fighters.
Sure.
But I think at lightweight, this is going to be an awesome, awesome scrap. And I don't know who you would pick in that one, but I'm going to lean towards Ross Pearson.
Yeah, me too. Pearson's 3-1 in his last four fights. And the only
and you
loss,
being the boxing fan, must love him, because he just goes out there and...
And it was great. And the one loss he had was against Diego Sanchez, which I would say most people out there would say Sanchez did not win that fight.
Yes, but I think if you're a judge, and I'm not, if you've ever listened to one episode or 249 of these episodes, you know that I'm not a big fan of the judges because they tend to get it all wrong. But if you watch a Diego Sanchez fight, they're very difficult to score because he's so busy.
Right.
He makes a lot of, like when you watch Clay Guida, right?
Right.
Both he and Diego Sanchez use not the same movements, but just a lot. They're very, very busy fighters. Where if we go back to Dominic Cruz's relaunch into the UFC 2-3 weeks ago. Again, a guy who uses a lot of movement but finishes the fight, right? So there's you don't need to figure out how did I score that Dominic Cruz because he ends up finishing it. Right. If you go to decision with Clay or Diego, the odds are not in your favor unless you were able to absolutely drown them in something. Well, I don't know what that would be because their cardio is for days, but while I don't disagree with you, I think those are fights that you just have to figure out a way to finish those guys because if you take it to decision, I assure you there's a judge that doesn't know what he's watching and will score for Diego just surely out of his frenetic pace and the fact that he runs to the ring and runs to the middle of the octagon and just throws 700 punches around. And whether or not any of them hit you could be totally irrelevant.
Or 700 left hooks.
Or 700. Yes, sorry.
He doesn't know how to use his jab exactly, but he does throw a lot of left hooks.
But Pearson does, right?
He does, yeah. Pearson's definitely a much better boxer than Sanchez is. That's why I definitely think Pearson beats Iaquinta in this fight. He's like you said, he's faced the better competition, and I think he's more battle tested currently than Iaquinta has been.
The kickoff to the main card is going to be Soa Pelelli and Walt Harris at heavyweight. We would call these. I like Walt Harris as a fighter, but this is clearly a Pelelli, you know, to kind of showcase what Pelelli can do at heavyweight. And so I've got Pelelli in that one. Robert Whittaker and Clint Hester at middleweight. Clint Hester has been a guy who, again, not a dude to mess around with. And I like his chances in this one. And you're going to catch that on Fight Pass as we go to Sydney. The other fight this weekend was a totally different fight and now has implications for literally one of my favorite fighters in the UFC that most people are not into yet but will be in Ovince St. Preux. I've loved Ovince St. Preux. I have a dear friend, Paul Cecchini, and I used to talk because they call him OSP as opposed to GSP. Sure. We used to talk about OSP when he was in Strikeforce and couldn't wait for him to get in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And here he is with a huge opportunity. Jimmy Manuel was supposed to be the first guy, got injured, and on a dime, Shogun's got to change his tune. And if you are somebody who subscribes to Fight Pass, which I hope you are because that's the only way you're watching this weekend. Sorry about that. We're broadcasting on the road today, so my dog is trying to pull the extension cord out of all of our equipment. So, Jimmy Manuwa injured. Shogun's got to change all of his training for him. In my opinion, a much more dangerous, hungry fighter who knows that he belongs in the upper echelon of the UFC. Sure. And this is that fight to literally Conor McGregor him, right? Ovince St. Preux is not a guy who talks trash or anything like that, but a win over Shogun, you're automatically in that title talk, or at least sitting in that that little stable, wherever that is, where we wait for somebody to get injured and you leap in there.
Right.
You know, Rashad Evans talked this week about how he was supposed to fight Gustafson and he tested his knee and is just not ready. He just can't do the fight. And so there's a perfect example of, you know, if Ovince St. Preux were to go in round one, do his business and be done, comes out healthy, maybe the UFC goes, hey, do you want to do this thing? Because you beat Shogun and you beat Gustafson. I don't know how I'm not quite ready to have the discussion as to whether or not he beats Gustafson. But if he beats Shogun and beats Gustafson, you've got to talk about that guy.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to be a tough fight. Rua definitely has a lot more experience than OSP does. But OSP is a completely different fighter than Manawa.
Manawa, yeah.
Manawa's, in my opinion, Manawa's a terrible boxer.
From a technical standpoint, there's not a lot to like from Jimmy Manawa, right?
No.
But when you're on light heavyweight, you're that notch below heavyweight, so there's those chances of knockouts when you've got power, and he's got power. He just doesn't really, it's not very focused power.
Sure, absolutely. And going against, you know, for Rua having to switch up his training from going against somebody like Manawa to somebody like OSP, who has a great great ground game as well as good stand up, it's definitely going to be a challenge for Rua as well, having to switch and, you know, fight somebody that's bigger and stronger than he is. But I see Rua pulling it out because he's had a couple of tough fights as well. Most one recent fight against Dan Henderson.
Yes.
As well, which he completely controlled.
He's what? Lost 5 of his last 8. You know, he's 3-5 in his last 8. Mm-hmm. Like you said, third round, 1 minute in, vintage Dan Henderson shows up and ruins the Brazil fight.
Right.
We're back in Brazil, so clearly, to your point, Shogun and Jimmy Manoah has a chance to rescind that sin of losing in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Here's your chance to win. We'll give you Jimmy Manoah. And instead you get Ovince St. Preux, who's coming off that unanimous decision loss to Ryan Bader, but prior to that was on a 5-fight win streak, and his only other loss is in Strikeforce, and it's to Gegard Mousasi. He's lost much earlier in his career, but since 2010, so in the last 4 years, he's only lost twice. And mm-hmm. so to my point, you beat Shogun on Shogun's home turf in a dramatic fashion. I think there's no reason why they're not going to start talking about you in a way that they probably should have from the get-go. But again, if Conor McGregor and Chael Sonnen have taught you anything, is that this is not a business about skill. This is a business about selling pay-per-views and selling tickets.
Right.
And you've got to do that by either being a really, really exciting fighter. And even that's not enough. If you know, we talked about it last week, but you go back to Chad Mendes and Jose Aldo. Mendes sold that fight. Mm-hmm. And Aldo's still a guy that can't get people to pay for pay-per-views, but he just runs railroad on them. And it's just not enough. You've got to have something exciting. And hopefully Ovince St. Preux is able to have that exciting night and go over Shogun. Not because I have anything against Shogun, but again, it's Shogun's time is kind of, if that Henderson loss shows you anything, it's that maybe your time is fleeting and you should perhaps think about whatever you're going to do next.
Right.
I mean, he's currently coaching against Anderson Silva in The Ultimate Fighter. I reiterate, like we did last week, they are not fighting, but he's got other stuff going on. He's got a stable of fighters. He's training for this show that clearly is huge in Brazil. To have Shogun and Anderson Silva on a TV show in Brazil would be if we would have, Michael Jordan and Larry Bird coach a basketball show in the United
absolutely.
States, right? Huge, huge icons in the country of Brazil. Co-main event is Uncle Creepy Ian McCall taking on John Lanker. The fascinating part about this fight is John Lanker is the heaviest hitter in the flyweight division. The problem with John is he's not in the right division, and he has a very, very difficult time getting down weight. He's missed 4 out of the last 6 times, and that is the kind of discipline that you have to fix, because I don't care if you can knock everybody out of that division if you can't make the weight, because they're not going to put you in a title fight, Julian, if you can't. If they can't count on you to hit that on the nose, because remember, the unified rules state that in any other fight, there's a 1 pound swing, right? You can be 1 pound over and still be considered okay. If it's a title fight, it's 155, 135, 125, 205. There is no point anything. It's 205.0. And so it'll be interesting to see if he even makes weight. If he makes weight, I still think Ian McCall is one of those guys. That's why he fought Demetrius Johnson twice. He's one of those guys that just has the speed to get out of the way. You could absolutely get caught by John.
Right.
But I get nervous, and you being a boxing fan can understand this. I get really, really nervous about these fighters that drop that much weight to go against guys who just have cardio for years. And so if John's not a guy who finishes Ian in the first round, that makes his job so much more difficult.
Yeah, it's definitely tougher to fight after you've dropped a ton of weight, 15, 20, 30, 25 pounds.
Keep going.
Yeah, it's definitely tougher to fight. It takes all the energy out of you. You're dehydrated. You try to fight, the next day after you've dehydrated your body, and then try to rehydrate your body. And, I'm with you. I think McCall's going to take this fight. I believe what I understand that you're saying is,
yeah, I think he's going to take this fight. My problem with this division, and we've talked about it, and you and I have talked about it at multiple times, and we've talked about it on the show, is that it doesn't matter if he beats John Lanker. John Lanker winning is interesting to me because if I think he can make weight, I like the idea of seeing him against Demetrius Johnson for only one reason, is that he's got that puncher's chance of just stopping Demetrius cold,
right?
Demetrius, arguably one of the best pound-for-pound fighters on the planet. but that heavy hitter at that weight class is really interesting to me.
Right.
Ian McCall, in my mind, got a better tool set to pull from, but I'm not as interested in seeing him fight Demetrius again. I'm not interested in the maybe John Dodson again, but there's so many guys at flyweight who have already gone up the mountain that I'm just not really interested in seeing them fight him again. That I guess for the fan in me, Lanker winning is more interesting because it gets him closer to having a new, so we don't have Chris Carriasso fighting Demetrius Johnson
right.
for the lowest pay-per-view in 7 years. We instead get a guy that you feel is a legit threat to stopping Demetrius Johnson's running of the table at the flyweight division.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see Lineker.
And you don't have to. I'm just saying from pure interest, it's way more interesting to me.
Right.
But I'm in 1,000% agreement with you that Ian McCall is the guy to beat in this fight, and I think it's going to be very difficult to beat him, especially with the heavyweight cut. All right, we are going to take a really, really quick break, and when we come back, there is a ton of news to talk about. Anderson Silva rushed to the hospital this week. Anthony Rumble Johnson gets amazing news. And like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about Rashad Evans and his knee injury. It's all next. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric, along with Julian, episode 249, we've been talking about the two fights you'll get on Fight Pass this weekend, one in Brazil, one in Sydney, as Shogun takes on Ovince St. Preux in Brazil, if you will. Of course, we've got the grudge match to end all grudge matches between Luke Rockhold and Michael Bisping. You can follow along with everything as the bedridden Joby Wan Kenobi will be doing everything on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show. Lots of news to talk about. And before we go too much further, November 17th, mark that on your calendar, the UFC doing a huge event where they're rolling out all of their champions to do some sort of presentation. And there are a lot of speculation on what those presentations and what that special announcement is going to be. I think there are some, myself included, who would love that announcement to be the return of Brock Lesnar, but I don't think that that's going to be it. He's under contract with the WWE till April, so I just think that it's too early to make that announcement. What I can tell you is that they are, Julian, going to roll out their entire schedule for 2015, which I think is really cool. I think telling people exactly what's going to happen for the whole year is kind of exciting. I think 2014, if it taught us anything as fans, is that they've had a really rough year holding pay-per-views together. So I don't know if this is them kind of throwing that out to the cosmic gods and just praying that that's all going to happen, right?
Sure.
Or what they're doing. But I really love the idea of them saying, hey, in 2015, this is all the cool stuff we're going to do. Aren't you excited about it? And here's our awesome announcement that Stone Cold Steve Austin's now fighting in MMA. I don't think that's it either. But
right.
They are promising a special announcement. I don't – logically in me, I don't know if that's – is that the GSP fight? You know, is GSP coming back? Is that
right.
the special announcement? He's been training. He was on Chael Sonnen's podcast saying that he's been training his entire life, so he's just training. It means nothing. Mm-hmm. But you still have to ask yourself, is that guy coming back? Is he coming back for a big fight? It's not like he's going to come back to fight Anderson Silva, as Anderson's fighting Nick Diaz. But there is a special announcement on November 17th and going to be the largest compilation of UFC champions in the history of the organization. So kind of a cool thing. That will also stream on Fight Pass. So if you're somebody who like me who enjoys the extracurricular stuff that they do on Fight Pass, like these events or the Nevada Athletic Commission hearings, which are literally the best thing on television I've ever watched, that will be on Fight Pass on November 17th. And speaking of Anderson Silva, he was hospitalized. This emergency had to be rushed to the hospital this week with a back injury, which had all of us collectively on the Way of the Warrior Facebook page going, he's totally going to be in for 15 fights, right? He's going to be fine for another 15 fights, right?
Right.
But it turns out it is a common injury that plagues people in contact sports of any sort, football players, fighters, boxers, something to do with your lower back, your lumbar support, and your leg either working in tandem or not working in tandem. And that is why he was rushed to the hospital. He has been since cleared, and the fight with Nick Diaz is on. I say that in quite in air quotes, if I could, because that makes me very, very nervous when they're rushing him to the hospital and going, "Oh no, it'll be, it's totally fine." Right. I mean, I know he's 40, but he's Anderson Silva. It'll be fine. He'll be totally ready for Nick Diaz.
And it's kind of weird when you can't feel your legs. You know, if you're laying on the ground and you can't feel your legs
After you broke one of them,
That's kind of a problem to have that type of injury. So. Yeah, definitely scary for Anderson Silva, and it's kind of scary for the sport as well because I think UFC wants Anderson Silva around just like all the fans want.
Oh, of course they do, and you we're getting to that point, I think, Julian, where we can start to see what these fights do to people. Right? Like, what is getting hit in the head do to your brain on an MMA basis? You know, we've started to look in that direction in the NFL. They're getting much more serious about concussions. You're seeing that at the college level. You're seeing it at the high school level because, they don't want 10-year-olds having 77 concussions before they get to high school. You know, all of those things. You're starting to see that in mixed martial arts. What happens when you traumatically snap your leg in half by having it contact another human being's leg? What does that do to your leg? What does that do to your nerves? What does that do to your lower back? So forth and so on. And so, yeah, it's super scary to see that happen. They say he's okay. I'm going to sit in the wait and see scenario. We talked in the first segment a little bit about Evans and Gustafson. It is off. Evans wants the fight, but his knee is not ready. Rashad has tested it and gone, I can't do this yet. I want to do this. I want to fight Gustafson, but it's just I'm not ready. And so I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Absolutely.
But a fight you're excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. Evans was one of my, one of my favorite fighters years ago.
When he knocked out Sean Salmon with a head kick?
Yes. Right. However, watching Lloyd Machida actually knocking him out was probably one of the saddest events in MMA. I just couldn't believe it. And, that's when, Lloyd Machida, really took the sport over at that time as well. But with this fight coming up with Gustafson, I just don't see Evans holding a candle to Gustafson. I think Gustafson's going to run through him.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got to ask yourself, or maybe you don't, I don't know, but with Gustafson, with that John Jones fight, you got to see an insane fight between two of literally the best fighters on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. And Gus has continued to dominate and beat who he needs to beat to get back up there, but he had, in my mind, hasn't looked or been tested in the way that he was tested against John Jones. So either they're the only two in the division that are at that caliber, and without, having not seen Daniel Cormier against John Jones, I want to have a little asterisk next to that.
Sure, I would agree.
In case that happens. But right now, it seems like these two guys are vying for one and two because I'm with you. I don't think there's very many people that stand in Gustafson's way to get back to John Jones. Now, if we get into a situation like we're sort of getting into in the heavyweight division where we might see JDS Kane 4, which Lord knows I don't want to see. I don't want to see that either if Gustafson gets beat three times and then beats everybody again and is right back up with John Jones for a potential title fight.
Sure.
I don't know what you do in those situations, especially if that's what we've got, right? Gustafson can beat everybody at 205, just can't beat John Jones. And JDS beats everybody at heavyweight, just Kane's got his number and just cannot compete. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But Rashad says he wants to take it, but I'm with you. It's scary. Not nearly as scary as Dan Henderson, who's returning to 185 pounds, and he wants to do that in January. The years, of course, creeping up on Dan Henderson, who I believe is 43 or 44 years old, and wants to continue to fight, especially after that win over Shogun. He's a guy that Ken would call these feature fights. He's a guy that you want to see him fighting. I'm going to use examples of people that aren't in the organization for the sake of example. You want to see him fighting guys like Tito Ortiz or Randy Couture or Ken Shamrock or, right? So prior to Lyoto Machida dropping from 205 to 185, he might be a good fight. I don't want to see Lyoto and Dan Henderson right now because at 185, Lyoto looks pretty awesome. Yeah. But Dan wants to be back, wants to be in January. I don't have any idea who they put him against, but at 185 makes for an interesting fight. Maybe if Bisping loses this weekend, is that maybe a rematch? So sure. Bisping gets his chance to get back that knockout from UFC 100. I don't know, but he wants to be back. The other exciting news is we've been talking on again and off again about domestic violence and mixed martial arts because it's been coming up again and again and again. Between Thiago Silva and Mayhem Miller. And then there was this case against Anthony Johnson. And Anthony Johnson got swept up in all of this. Well, we're going to cut Thiago Silva because he's crazy. Oh, well, we went to court and they couldn't prove anything. So we're bringing Thiago back. Isn't everyone excited? Oh, there's a video of him on cocaine running around a kitchen with a handgun. We should probably get rid of him. And then Anthony Johnson gets in a similar situation. So without any chance to kind of chase it down the rabbit hole, and I know that I'm normally one who just thinks if you get in trouble in an organization, they don't need to keep you, and they don't, and so they dropped him. But today, that legal complaint was dropped, so Anthony Johnson is reinstated back in the UFC, which is awesome. He's reinvented himself as a fighter. He's back in the UFC as whatever happened in his personal life has been totally rescinded, and he sure can get back on track. That said, he has no fights on the docket because they had him dropped indefinitely, so there, right, it wasn't like they had an opponent, but a guy who I just think has been tearing through the division, and yeah, exciting to have him back, so exciting news for him. Assuming, again, to put a little check note by this, you know, because we learned from the Thiago Silva situation, assuming, of course, that this stays its current course, that the legal complaint is officially dropped and will stay dropped and nothing else will rear its ugly head. If he's clearly innocent, I have no problem bringing him back. Excited to see him back in the UFC.
Yeah, me too. Anthony Johnson, like you said, he reinvented himself, and he's just running through people. And I don't know. I think he's going to be champion soon. I can't see anybody beating him.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem right now is that when you drop him indefinitely, you've got Gustafson hooked up with Rashad. You've right. got Cormier hooked up with John Jones. And I mean, does Lyoto have a fight? Maybe Lyoto. Is it Lyoto? Well, Lyoto's at 85, so that doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's
at 85. Who do you put him against at 205?
I don't know. Maybe Cormier. Maybe him and Cormier...
Are you just assuming Cormier loses then? Is that what you're saying here?
I guess I don't know who Cormier is fighting.
He's fighting John Jones for the title.
Oh.
So I mean, you know, if he loses, I think that's a great fight. But right now, if he needed a fight, I guess Phil Davis, maybe? Phil Davis just beating Glover Teixeira. Because your top five right now is Gus, Cormier, Rumble, Rashad, Phil Davis. And so I guess Phil Davis is the only logical person without a dance partner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ovince St. Preux, if Ovince St. Preux jumps over Shogun, because I think that's a bigger win than a loss to Ryan Bader. Not that a loss to Ryan Bader is not a big deal. Ryan Bader, obviously a great, great fighter, mm-hmm. But he's ranked number 8, and I think if you beat Shogun, regardless of the fact that the UFC has him ranked number 9, he's a legend in the sport. Not that Ryan sure. Bader isn't a game opponent, but Ryan Bader is not Shogun. So I don't know, maybe OSP and Rumble. It's a great fight for OSP, right? Because you beat Rumble Johnson. You're
right.
Number 3rd in the division. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on that one. And then one more thing before we take off. The show is going to be a little bit short given the fact that Julian had an hour to prep for this and has never kind of sat in and done these things. And I'm essentially by myself as everybody is sick this week. So we'll kind of keep it, I think, around 40 minutes as opposed to an hour, which is fine. If you watched the fight between Ryan Ford and Jake Shields that took place on October 11th, it was revealed afterwards that Ryan Ford decided to show up with a broken arm, and he has been suspended by the commission for 6 months. And before you cry foul, you need to understand that the commissions take these things very seriously because they do not want you to show up for a fight and not tell them that you're injured. But as Julian and I were talking prior to the show starting, is that this is the thing that... these fighters at this level, they don't have a lot of choice, right? I mean, we were talking. Right. He doesn't get paid if he doesn't show up.
Right.
Doesn't get his insurance taken care of. He's not in the UFC. The UFC has its own insurance, so if you're a UFC fighter, this gets a little bit easier to take care of yourself and make smart decisions. But as you're trying to go up in the World Series of Fighting or Bellator or King of the Cage, or if you're over in England, Cage Rage, whatever, you've got to do crazy stuff like that because you can't afford to not show up. And fighting Jake Shields and getting choked out in 7 seconds is still better, and you still get paid prior to, as opposed, I should say, to not showing up and going, I got a broke arm. I can't fight.
Right. Yeah.
Now, he's suspended for 6 months, and we'll have to go through the whole rigmarole of getting a license, which is going to be a pain for him after he lied to the commission.
Sure.
But you're one of those guys that believes that you make those decisions, you kind of have to live with them. And so he will have to obviously live with those decisions.
Yeah.
But a bummer for a guy like that, but something that I think, while I don't agree with it, I can totally understand, because those lower tier divisions, it's a shark tank, right? Like you're starving down there.
Yeah.
Starving.
I can't blame the guy for fighting, you know, like we were talking earlier, if you know, he's fighting to get money to fix this arm that's broken. If he doesn't fight,
well, I mean, but even before we get to fix the arm, right? There's camp. You got to pay for camp. You got to pay for the supplements. You got to pay for the gym membership. You got to pay for the travel. You got to, because when you're fighting and I don't know the contract for World Series of Fighting, so please don't send me hate-filled email about how I don't know what I'm talking about, because I'm rightfully admitting I've never seen one of the contracts, but I don't know. But with most of these lower tier divisions, they're not taking care of travel, much like the UFC doesn't really take care of travel. So you're on the hook for travel, you're on the hook for your camp, you're on the hook for your supplements, for your food, in this case, your insurance. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have insurance, you've got to pay the whole freight on what it costs to fix an arm, which is, I don't know, $15,000, right?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he probably made 10 getting shellacked by Jake Shields. You know, this is the darker side of mixed martial arts, in that these lower divisions that we watch or don't watch, you're laughing, but there are weeks that there's nothing else on but Bellator. So you watch it because you want to watch MMA. But if there's something else on, like this weekend, people who really want to watch MMA are going to watch it on Fight Pass. If that's the case, you just don't get the eyeballs on the World Series of Fighting. And this is what sort of things happen. You get Jake Shields fighting a guy that nobody's ever heard of. And you have a guy that nobody's ever heard of show up with a broken arm because he can't afford not to. So he's been suspended for 6 months. And like I said, he's going to have a tough climb getting reinstated, because that commission now knows he's a dude that lies about that sort of stuff. So he's going to come under some scrutiny, and we'll see what happens in 6 months. But this weekend, you've got OSP and Shogun. That's going to take place in Brazil on Fight Pass. And then you've got Michael Bisping, Luke Rockhold. As I said, you can follow along with everything on Twitter or Facebook by searching WOW Show. Julian, thanks for hanging for a little bit.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You want to do it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay. Next week, episode 250. If you need anything, find us on Twitter or Facebook. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show. This is the world.
I done been through a whole lot. Trial, tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie. Pray that the holy water don't go dry. Yeah, yeah. As I look around me.